Truth News Network.
Politics is hard to explain. The truth is hard to find. And spin is everywhere. From the mountain peaks of Zurich to the cathedrals of St. Petersburg, the Truth News Network is spreading reality. And here with your daily dose is Dan Newman.
Got another dose of truth for you today here at Truth News Network. Hi there, I'm Dan Newman, and I'm glad you joined us here today. We're going to jump right into our story. Let me ask you a question as we get started. Does anyone else have problems distinguishing what politicians really think, what they disbelieve, what they believe, what they support, or even what they stand against? Things in legislation, social concerns and issues, criminal justice, constitutional matters, foreign policy, which laws we should enforce, which we should not, etc. It goes on and on and on. All are very important areas in which elected officials make very important determinations every day. In each, those decisions are more often than not critical decisions. Many of these politicians prefer to keep their positions quiet until, strictly for political purposes, their specific issue revelations are absolutely required. Why all the secrecy? Well, it feeds a narrative in Washington politics. Blurred lines. Keep quiet until you absolutely must weigh in, because usually those revelations turn half of the voting populace against them. Remaining quiet as long as possible keeps voters guessing and keeps their potential vote for those politicians alive. It's a great way to run a country, isn't it? Heck no, it's not. Honestly, it's a sad way to run a home, a business, a state, and certainly the United States government. We can never trust what we see and hear our leaders tell us. Bill and Hillary Clinton is an example. Barack and Michelle Obama were against same-sex marriage also. They too saw the light, the same light that the Clintons saw. Federal laws passed by the U.S. House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, and signed into law by the president banned the possession and use of marijuana throughout all 50 states. Barack Obama told his Justice Department head, Attorney General Eric Holder, to not prosecute marijuana offenders. Further, the U.S. has pretty specific laws against illegal immigration, doesn't it? Yet dozens and dozens and dozens of members of Congress, the entire Democrat Party, including their members and their leadership, and pretty much everyone in the U.S. media, want open borders with virtually unlimited illegal immigration. But that's the way it goes. The blinds now are blurred lines.
If you can't hear what I'm trying to say, if you can't read from the same page,
maybe I'm going deaf, maybe I'm going blind, maybe I'm out of my mind.
Yep, blurred lines. That's a famous song sung by Robin Thicke and Pharrell Williams. I love the sound. I love the beat. But even that song is controversial to many. It actually made it to number one on the Billboard music charts long before it was understood that its veiled message was about rape and the brutalization of women. Listen to these lyrics. If you can't hear what I'm trying to say, if you can't read from the same page, maybe I'm going deaf, maybe I'm going blind, maybe I'm out of my mind. Okay, now he was close, tried to domesticate you, but you're an animal. Baby, it's in your nature. Just let me liberate you. You don't need no papers. That man is not your maker, and that's why I'm gonna take you. Huh, it's a really catchy song, but unless you isolate the words and think things through, it would sound simply like another catchy 21st century pop song. That's kind of what's happening to America today. All those veiled messages, like the ones hidden in blurred lines, are finding their way into every critical part of the American infrastructure. In government, social media, the church, our schools, and regular media. We've already talked about government. Let's take a peek at those other categories, beginning with social media. Facebook and Twitter both took the entire world by storm. And they're not alone. There are a plethora of social media sources for all of us to use. There are plentiful statistics one can find that reveal just how dependent our people in the world, especially in the U.S., on social media. I've got to be honest with you, I spend too much time surfing Twitter and Facebook myself. Isn't it odd that we all, without thinking, let the post we read impact the way we think? Certainly, there are many goods that result from social media, but there are probably more bad than there are good. But that's a conversation for a different day. Today, we are discussing how everyday things that we use and depend on impact the way we think and the decisions that we make. How many times have you read a long post from a legitimate source that you simply believe and accept as factual and real without thinking about its sources or any real reasoning? We do that all the time. Those situations impact even the hard and set-in-stone standards in our lives. Why? Because we allow them to. Think of the current ills being exposed almost daily, of Facebook especially, and how they apparently have policies that directly impact First Amendment rights that give everyone to say and or write anything they want to express their thoughts and opinions for anyone and everyone to see. Remember, Facebook is a media giant whose top brass are petrified that the federal government is going to step in and restrict some of the things they allow and disallow on their platform. But they're into politics. They are into political perspective. We hear almost daily that Facebook does that exact thing, restrict things people can say, by editing what people can and cannot post on their pages. After all, Facebook is a private entity. What do we call that? Blurred lines. And then the church. Now, don't misunderstand me. The church is not Baptist, Catholic, Episcopalian, Methodist, or Presbyterian. The church we are referring to is all the people together who from different denominations combined comprise the total group of Christians, or the church. Christians adopt as their roadmap the Holy Bible. Christians believe it is God's word and that it gives all people the guidelines and instructions of how to best live for Christ. Yes, there are various interpretations of different parts of the Holy Bible, but there is too an abundance of absolutes like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Those are a couple of the Ten Commandments from the Old Testament. There too are other instructions for Christians throughout the 66 books contained in the Bible, and some are interpretive, while others are literal. Let's look at a topic that most Christians have for centuries felt is an absolute, that some Christians have today decided is not absolute, but is interpretive. It's very controversial. Homosexuality. Homosexuality is one of the most controversial topics today that perplexes many Christians. It isn't specifically referenced in those Ten Commandments, but it is many other times elsewhere in the Bible, like Leviticus 18, verse 22, Romans chapter 1, 26 and 27 verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Now, we're not going to take the time to detail each of those, but I suggest you look those up yourself. It'll shine a light of clarity on your thinking on this topic. In those specific scriptures, homosexuality is deemed to be wrong. I know that statement is controversial. I've heard all the hundreds of explanations of those who believe homosexuality is okay. We're not today going to argue that point. What we are pointing out is the blurred lines that are exposed in this controversy. Are you a practicing Christian? Do you believe the Holy Bible? Do you believe it's God's word? If your answer to those is yes, then for you to okay homosexuality requires you to turn away from your belief in the Holy Bible and that it is God's word. How do you reconcile that? Before I answer that question, let me say this. I have homosexuality in my personal family for 40 plus years. My family's comprised entirely of people who were raised in the church, believe the Holy Bible and that it is God's word, but still, several are involved in homosexuality. Two obvious questions pop up immediately. One, how do they reconcile their Christian beliefs with the scriptures? And two, how do I reconcile and accept their homosexuality? The answer is also twofold. One, the scriptures tell us that we are all to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Their handling it however they choose is between them and God. Two, I don't have to reconcile it because it's none of my business. They answer to God just like I do for their choices, and I answer to God for my choices, and they don't answer to me. I answer to God for mine and not anyone else. But here's where the lines get blurred. We are taught today by many sources that anyone that does not believe in homosexuality and all that goes along with it is homophobic, and that homophobia is evil. In other words, a segment of society considers their opinion on homosexuality to be superior to someone else's opinion. Yet many of those people will loudly proclaim their belief in the Holy Bible. Blurred lines. There are a number of similar biblical topics that we could touch on here to further examine this process, but for the sake of time, we're not going to do that. Feel free to express your thoughts, though, on the front page of this website. You can drop a note there in the opinion section or drop me an email at dan@truthnewsnet.org. Ask me a question, express your opinions. I'd love to hear them both. If we receive enough of those, we'll do another story for this, and we'll let you write that story with your comments. We're going to take a 30-second break. Back for the wrap-up. We've still got to talk about schools and the media, the real media. Those are up next at truthnewsnet.org.
When madness is the norm, the truth is a radical act of courage. Remain calm. Be brave. Wait for the signs. TNN, the Truth News Network.
How can we say when you book direct at choicehotels.com, you always get the lowest price in our rooms, guaranteed?
Let's get someone to say it with a really low voice.
Carl?
Lowest price guaranteed.
What about the world's lowest limbo stick?
How low can you go?
Nice one, Carl.
Hey, I've got an idea. Just say bada book, bada boom.
Bada book, bada boom.
Nice.
Always the lowest price guaranteed. Book now at choicehotels.com.
Left versus right, Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus liberal. Which side do you take? The side of the truth on TNN.
TruthNewsNet.org, the Truth News Network.
And we're digging for the truth today about blurred lines. That's what we're discussing. Let's look at schools. I got to be honest. I'm horrified at what I see played out every day in our schools. Principles that once were pillars of living in the U.S. have been obliterated by educators, only to be replaced by other principles presented by teachers and professors as gospel. Examples: excellent in achievement is now painted to be unfair and too restrictive. It's been replaced with participation trophies. American government, especially capitalism, is no longer the pillar of financial freedom and personal accomplishment students should push to achieve. Capitalism is now an evil threat to American democracy and should be replaced as soon as possible by socialism. Those same teachers and professors that damn capitalism and give socialism heavenly deity fail to teach the structure of socialism to those students. They certainly never mention in class that there is not one socialist country on earth today or even in the history of the world that has succeeded in any way. Professors certainly do not explain any socialist failures in those countries and are direct results of the structures of socialism itself. The fundamental principle of socialism is that all people are treated equally in every way, but the government is given autonomy over every part of the citizens' lives to determine what is right and what is wrong regarding use of the elements of life, like education, healthcare, finance, retirement, whatever. What Big Brother says in socialism always goes. But in every case, Big Brother takes too good of care for himself and lets the citizenry suffer. That's why socialism fails. Another blurred line. And then last but not least is today's media. Where do we begin? Let's start with the role that media played in a country that fawned over its government, its healthcare, its media, and was destroyed. Germany. Propaganda within Nazi Germany was taken to a new and frequently extreme level. Hitler was very aware of the value of good propaganda in his media. Hitler appointed Joseph Goebbels as head of propaganda. Propaganda is the art of persuasion, persuading others that your side of the story is the right one. Propaganda might take the form of persuading others that your military might is too great to be challenged, that your political might within a nation is too great or popular to challenge, etc. In Nazi Germany, Dr. Joseph Goebbels was in charge of it. Goebbels' official title was Minister of Propaganda and National Enlightenment. To ensure that everybody thought in the correct manner, Goebbels set up the Reich Chamber of Commerce in 1933. This organization dealt with literature, art, music, radio, film, newspapers, etc. To produce anything that was in these groups, you had to be a member of the Reich Chamber. The Nazi Party decided if you had the right credentials to be a member. Any person who was not admitted was not allowed to have any work published or performed. Disobedience brought with it severe punishments. As a result, Nazi Germany introduced a system of censorship. You could only read, see, and hear what the Nazis wanted you to read, see, and hear. In this way, if you believed what you were told, the Nazi leaders logically assumed the opposition to their role would be very small and practiced only by those on the very extreme who would be easy to catch. Is the U.S. media directed by the U.S. government, as was the German media under Hitler? Certainly not. They disdain America's current leader, do the media. They fawned over Barack Obama. So what's wrong today? Where are the blurred lines? It's got a name, Donald Trump. Today's media has become in the U.S. what Hitler and Goebbels were in World War II Germany. The U.S. media today pick what the U.S. should see and hear and what they should not. They determine what is good and what is bad. Take news from that liberal bastion of Americanism out west, San Francisco. Listen to this. San Francisco Mayor London Breed said last week she supports a decision by two judges allowing police to search freelance journalist Brian Carmody's home and office as the first city official spoke out against the raid. The raid last Friday was part of a criminal investigation into what the San Francisco Police Department says was the illegal release of its report about the February 22nd death of public defender Jeff Adachi. Carmody said a confidential source gave him the police report, which he then sold to several news outlets. Our role is to follow the law and the judges ultimately make the decisions, the mayor said. They made the decision. And so at this point, you know, I support their decision. But Supervisor Hillary Ronan disagreed and said, the police have gone about this completely wrong. I don't love that Carmody took this document that should never have been released in the first place and sold it to news outlets as a salacious story to hurt Jeff's legacy and his family, Ronan said. But that doesn't mean that we undermine one of the most important hallmarks of our democracy because we don't like what the individual is doing. Did the New York Times or Washington Post put this story on their front page? No, they didn't. You'd think that such an intrusion of the First Amendment rights would be blasted everywhere, but not regarding California's flagship sanctuary city regarding a member of its press. The state felt it was best to just let sleeping dogs lie. So the cops went in with guns. They were ready for anything, and they ransacked his house and confiscated 27 years of his media work in that raid. The media chose who was right, and that in this case, freedom of the press was no good. No backup for this travesty that was perpetrated in San Francisco. Then there was this. Mr. Trump made his animus toward the news media clear during his campaign, often expressing his disgust with coverage through Twitter or in diatribes at rallies. So if his campaign is any guide, Mr. Trump seems likely to enthusiastically embrace the aggressive crackdown on journalists and whistleblowers that is an important yet little understood component of Mr. Obama's presidential legacy. This is from the New York Times. You're not going to believe this, but it's an editorial. It's not a story. It continues. Criticism of Obama's stance on press freedom, government transparency, and secrecy is hotly disputed by the White House, but many journalism groups say the record is clear. Over the past 8 years, the administration has prosecuted 9 cases involving whistleblowers and leakers, compared with only 3 by all previous administrations combined. It has repeatedly used the Espionage Act as a relic of World War I era red baiting, not to prosecute spies, but to go after government officials who talked to journalists. Under Obama, the Justice Department and the FBI spied on reporters by monitoring their phone records, labeled one journalist an unindicted co-conspirator in a criminal case for simply doing reporting, and issued subpoenas to other reporters to try to force them to reveal their sources and testify in criminal cases. Remember again, this was an editorial in the New York Times. It was not a story that the New York Times chose to publish. It is noteworthy and topical here today because it is an editorial and not a news story. This paper and almost every other paper in large American cities felt that Barack Obama could do no wrong. But in fact, just below this sentence, we have listed a link to a story that posts 11 times President Obama unilaterally attacked the First Amendment while the American press looked away. And that's what the media does. They look away. Everything's okay as long as it fits whatever their political narrative of the day is. But don't cross the media and don't cross politicians that the media says are doing the right things. In summary, let me just say this. Here's the danger we're today living in. This blurring of lines across our society has become so rampant, so egregious, but so normal that Americans just automatically look the other way. Every time it happens, it's just no big deal. That's how Hitler rocked Germans to sleep, took over their media and their military, their churches, and systematically ran roughshod through Europe, slaughtering people left and right. Even the German people did not really think there was a systematic killing of people that were different from most Germans, the Jews, that lived in Germany and in Poland. And certainly the German press never mentioned it at all. In every area of American life, the power junkies are systematically bending the truth to fit their specific narratives. But let's be real. Their doing so is not unique. It's not without precedent. And it's not without the full knowledge of the power junkies in charge of that narrative. But now it must be put directly in the faces of the American people. And that must happen quickly. And folks, let me just say this. We're not getting that from the media. They are shaping their stories, their reporting, the way they report, to be directly in line with what the power junkies of politics want their narrative to be. Everything. Anti-Trump. Don't report on any of the good things that have happened in the first couple of years of his administration. And there are dozens and dozens of good things and great changes that have benefited every American. You don't hear it. You don't see it. They don't report it. One more national election in which those who are part of whatever this is find themselves stacking the deck of government with those who will further blur the lines between good and evil, right and wrong, justice and injustice, find themselves in power. There are far too many of them there now, and Americans can afford no more. Seek the truth, find the truth, and spread the truth around to everyone that is in your circle of influence. That's a wrap on today's story. Blurred lines. We want to get rid of the blurred lines and shine the light of truth everywhere we can in our nation. You need to do the same thing throughout your circle of influence. Tell those people that look to you and listen to you exactly what's going on. Thank you for being here today. Stay close this week. Much happening in D.C. A lot of news, real news, to be released every day. We'll have it for you here at Truth News Network. Until we talk again, you have a great day. So long, everybody.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.